Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. This is Gilbert from Albuquerque.
Hi, this is Andy from Vancouver.
Hey, this is Brett from Vancouver.
This is Dan from Vancouver.
And this is Steve from Gilbert, Arizona.
Did you know that we've been reading through the Gospels and the whole Bible was meant to be sung? It's mathematical. Both the Old Testament and the New Testament are alphanumeric. The numerics are in the words. And same as music, music is numeric. And it's meant to be sung. And this is a grouping of scriptures, right, that...
Yeah, the chorus of this one is in Matthew 4:17, and then there's some in Matthew and Mark and in John.
Oh, that's interesting.
And in that order.
From that time Jesus began to preach, repent for the kingdom of the heavens are in reach. Now after John had been put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the kingdom and saying, the time is fulfilled, repent and believe in the gospel. From that time Jesus began to preach, repent for the kingdom of the heavens are in reach. There was a man named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews who came to Jesus. Rabbi, we know that you are from God, for no one can do these things that you have done. But Jesus answered and said to him, be born from above to see the kingdom. From that time Jesus began to preach, repent for the kingdom of the heavens are in reach. Come to me all you children, for the kingdom of God belongs to them. He who does not receive the kingdom, like a child, will not enter in. From that time Jesus began to preach, repent for the kingdom of the heavens are in reach. So repent and believe in the gospel, so that we may fulfill the Father's will by coming to Jesus and doing his word, to enter his kingdom just as you've heard. To enter his kingdom just as you've heard.
And I have to change my mind because those aren't all in that order. So there's Matthew and then John and then goes back to Mark. So changing my mind about that.
I'm going to have to just revamp all the things I've been doing so it's okay.
Or just think about it while you're teaching.
Oh, I know, I do. I mean, I've been sitting here thinking about, I do a teaching of John the Baptist, and I'm thinking about that, and I'm going, okay, if I did it that way, and I just find all of the John scriptures and stack them and go forward, this will be really easy to do. And in doing it this way, it releases the pieces of information about John in the order that they need to be released. And that takes me from moving around with it and kind of try to settle into it. That's very good.
When I first read this article, I've had it in my, since I've started talking to Jesse Bentley, Ivan Panin's secretary from youth. And she was in her 80s when I was talking to her. She was born in the early 1900s. And she said that they used to take communion just according to exactly what the scriptures say. And when she read off their worship, how they worship doing communion, you could see they were reading the same Bible. And because they believed exactly the same, and they were actually around Niagara Falls in Canada. And he didn't have as big of a group. It was mainly just a few folks in his house, but he was a prolific writer. And I have a whole box full of his writings. And I just started paying attention to a section he had in here about the order and what each of the Gospels was proclaiming. And it's called his little blue booklet on Bible numerics. And I'll have some printed out if you guys would like to take a look at that. But this is just one section in there, and he saw that was open to him, and he could see the theme of each one. He saw the purpose of each one and the order of each one, and they thought a person needed to be a student of Matthew first. It didn't mean you wouldn't read through the whole Bible, but now after doing it for 52 years and looking at it this way, I came to Vancouver, Washington, where Kevin's Netlingham studio is, and he's been our friend for what, about 16 years? Did he say 18 years?
Over 20.
What? 19 years. Wow.
Are you serious?
Wowie zowie. And we started off in his basement recording, and Andy, when he's recording, Kevin turns to me and goes, sounds like Tom Baudette with a Motel 6 ad sign. So we were having a good time right off the bat. And then he built a studio for us to come into. And but after doing this for this many years, I started reading this, and I'm going, when I came up here, I'm just going to experiment with this. And so I went to one group first at Rachel. I taught it there. I just started explaining it there as best as I could understand it at the time. And then I experimented it at Dan's house.
And Stephanie's.
And Dan and Stephanie's house. Well, Stephanie's and Dan's house.
It's Stephanie's house, yeah.
Now, he's been trained, you see, by marriage trained you. Stephanie and Dan's house. And so then we decided to tape it, and we're experimental believers. We decided we're going to be like the Bereans. We're going to prove this right. And it appears to me it's right. And it's opening my eyes. And it's all in our desire to be better every year. We lay aside more of ourselves, sins, inclinations. None of us have made that perfection thing yet, have we?
I'll tell you, in just doing this the past few days, I would be at home and I would be asleep. And some of these things that we've talked about and everything, they were crowding me, because I had a certain way of doing things for years. And so they were crowding me. And then it would wake me up and I would go, well, that, just forget about that. That's not a big deal. Just relax. And so and it took till today to where all these things settled into me and I just yielded to it. We have to yield to the Holy Spirit when he shows us new things. And we have to yield with all the knowledge we have and all the things that he's given us. And if it's not in the right order, he'll put it in the right order. And if you've been given a lot of different things, you'll be required a lot of different things, it says. So it took 3 days. And I'm like, wow, I can see this is really freeing. It's not bad. It's freeing and it's orderly. And there's a joy in that.
Here are the keys. It's the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and the keys are right there. Open the door by repenting. Open the door and enter into the kingdom of the heavens.
And so if you want to keep in connection with the kingdom of the heavens, even if you're in it, you have to use repentance all the time.
A man of God told us he gave actually a gentleman named David North and me the instructions. We were in his car in the last days of his life, and he said, Gilbert, teach people to love the truth, to hate mystery Babylon, you know, confusion of languages, confusion of religions, put all that stuff aside, and to stay teachable and prove things right. Don't be negative. Prove things right.
And if you leave out that stay teachable thing, people will quit learning and they'll probably walk away.
In whatever you did. I did that in my engineering. I kept continuing ed until I had to start taking care of Carolee 3 years ago. People don't know this, but I was always taking, you know, after graduate classes for years.
Always learning. Always learning, and if you're always learning, inevitably you're going to, it's not just going to be a new layer for you. No, always learning means that you're going to change your mind. You're going to have to change your mind or you won't be able to take in the new piece. That's how it goes.
One of the things that really sticks out is how, you know, we see in part when it comes down to the scriptures. And there's a song that comes up in mind. It goes, the path of the just.
The path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The path of the just, the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day.
And so when we're looking at that, we are being made more and more closer to Christ's image. And so we start out one way, we start out at one point, and we are constantly growing, and it's through his word and practicing his word and having a changeable mind, being teachable, and all of those things that are important that are for us to get rid of the big I.
Us. You know, it's interesting. I just got, by you talking, I saw a vision of Peter getting disciplined at babyhood, because when you're born from above, you're a baby. So he got disciplined there, so he was able, instead of a grown big fisherman, he became a young child. He became a baby, started over again. But then in manhood, he gets disciplined by Paul, and he had to take it. Isn't that interesting? So you never quit being, because if you're surrounded by your friends, it is a great thing. It shows their love to discipline.
And he didn't have to just change his mind about a slip of the tongue. He was really wrong. He was really out there.
He withdrew to the religious leader dudes.
Oh, boy.
And Paul was all by himself, and here he was surrounded by these scribes and Pharisees, the religious element that hadn't dropped that religiosity in the family. And there's always different segments of people that come and start studying and will come and worship with you. Some people still have a lot of, some people call it religiosity. They have
stuff.
Yeah.
Baggage.
A lot of books of knowledge, but it's messed up.
Well, they have a faith that's their faith.
Yeah.
Not God's faith. And God keeps chipping away at their faith to give them his faith.
And we let go of them one at a time. And
if you could dump the whole thing, it would be nice, but it doesn't seem to work that way. And he works with this one thing at a time.
And you keep them until you're willing to let go of them.
It's hard for men to clean out the garage, isn't it?
It really is.
I'd rather just reorganize it, but it doesn't work.
And, you know, this is definitely a part about this is a piece of being in God's kingdom. You know, these are what his servants are to be doing in his kingdom and practicing.
Being real. We're not above anybody, so we have to but we are actually being corrected. We're correcting. We're admonishing and being admonished. We are being lifting up and we're lifting up.
Right. And it goes into he who practices righteousness is righteous just as Jesus is righteous. So it's not who is being who is perfect at it yet, it, implying that they are not perfect at it, and but they are practicing. And so we are to be practicing.
They're working it out in their own lives.
Right. Here's a song that, that we sing, and I don't think it's a scripture, but it's very scriptural. It's a short, simple song. The Lord is good. Tell it wherever you go. The Lord is good. Tell it that others may know. Tell of his mercy and tell of his love. Tell of his wonderful riches above. The Lord is good. Tell it wherever you go.
Let's read the other parts to this. It talks about, this is in Mark and in Luke, and these are parallel scriptures. They are other parts to where Jesus is talking to them. And in Mark, let me get it here, Mark chapter 8,
verses 27 through 30.
You going to read those, Andy?
Sure.
Mark 8, 27 through 30.
Now when Jesus and his disciples went out to the towns of Caesarea Philippi, and on the road he asked his disciples, saying to them, "Who do men say that I am?" And they answered, "John the Baptist, but some say Elijah's, and others one of the prophets." And he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Peter answered and said to him, "You are the Christ." And he charged them that they should tell no one about him. So it's clear that that's the same story with the keys, but
it's
none
like,
of that is that's already been mentioned.
They already took care of that.
Now we're just telling the story.
They used the keys, and they're in God's household. They're in some of these conversations, they are actually in Jesus' house. Let's turn to that just for a second. Mark chapter 3. You'll see, and this is his physical house in Capernaum. And this is how they would be talking. It shows you where they are. 3:1, he enters again into the synagogue, and there was a man there with a withered hand, and he ended up healing him. Then he withdraws and goes to the sea in verse 7 of chapter 3 of Mark. And then he went up into the mountain in verse 13, and then he comes home, his house in Capernaum. And at home, a crowd gathered again, so much to the extent they could not even eat a meal. You ever seen your house so packed? You ever had a gathering and all of a sudden there's not even elbow room. You cannot sit down to eat because your house is just so full of people. And that is his house. Some people think they take it too far and say because of that scripture, this one has nests, they have holes
the
in the ground.
The birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head, thus he doesn't have a house.
Well, if you ever had a traveling job or a job where you really hardly have a time to sleep, and he was kept up a lot of times, I wonder, all night long. But he did have a house. And once in a while, so he'd go there, and he still didn't have enough room to eat in his house. This is his house. If you track it in the original, really good versions, in the Greek too, it shows it is his house. So, but you hear a lot of people say he had no home. He had a house, and this is it. So here's a picture in his house, which is actually a beautiful picture of what a church should look like. It's in a home, and the best place is, of course, just having 12 people there. But here now he's got a crowd, so he's not going to talk like he did before, but he is showing something. And he came home, and the crowd gathered again to such an extent they could not even eat a meal. When his own people heard this, in other words, his family, they went out to take custody of him. They were saying, he's lost his senses. The scribes who came down from Jerusalem were saying, he's possessed by, and I'm not even going to get into that. But anyway, so in verse 31, it goes on, and here we've established he's in his house. His mother and brothers arrive, and of course, they know where he lives. So they find him, and they sent word to him to call him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, behold, your mother, your brothers are outside looking for you. Answering, he said to them, who are my mother and my brothers? And looking about those who were sitting around him, he said, behold, my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother, my sister, and my mother. And they were sitting around him, and that Greek word is a kuklo. They were sitting in a circle around him. So you can, one thing about a circle, you have no head. You don't have any position. Everybody has a right and a left, and a circle is something that makes everybody absolutely equal. So that's what his house looks like. Throughout all of Israel, there were a lot of houses the archaeologists uncovered, and they would have big round tables in that area. And even into Lebanon and Syria, you would find that same picture. Did anybody have anything more on the keys to the kingdom? So we read that one in Mark. How about Luke chapter 9, around 21 and 22? These are other depictions of exactly that same event when Jesus said, blessed are you, Simon Barjona. But they didn't write down those other details. Exactly those same details are there. But this is what Luke wrote. That's what we just read, what Mark wrote, John Mark. John Mark was actually the one that Paul and Barnabas had a fight over. John Mark was related to Barnabas, and Paul got mad at him because, see, here's Paul had to repent too. Peter had to repent. Paul had to repent, and he didn't want him with him anymore because he left when he needed him at the wrong time, and so Barnabas and Paul split because of it, so Paul took John Mark with him, and Paul took Silas. And so when Paul went on, Silas was a prophet. Now you have an apostle and a prophet working together. And I wonder if that was actually God's hand in doing that and in changing up where you didn't always have two apostles, but you'd have an apostle and a prophet visiting different areas. But here are different views of exactly the same event that happened in this house at this particular time. And here is Luke 9. And where is that?
It's 18 through 20. And it happened as he was alone praying that his disciples joined him. And he asked them, saying, who do the crowds say that I am? And they answered and said, John the Baptist, and some say Elijah's, and others say that one of the old prophets has risen again. And he said to them, but who do you say that I am? And Peter answered and said, the Christ of God. It is the same conversation, it's just not the first one.
And how about, read also 20, all the way to 22.
And he strictly warned and commanded them to tell this to no one, saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised the third day.
And that's what Peter was telling him not to say, and Peter got that's left out of the other instance. Both times it's left out of it. And then it goes on to say it's the same thing as repenting. It's that first repenting, it's the same as falling on the rock and broken in pieces, giving up your ego. And this is what it says. He was saying to them all, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. And he said 4:19 of Matthew, come and follow me, after he told him to repent. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. In other words, his soul, his own mind, he doesn't get his way, own way all day long anymore. Now he has to give his own way up, period. And if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what is a man profited if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and his holy angels. Now here, you'll notice in Luke, Jesus is known as the Son of Man. This is what's emphasized in Luke, that he's one of us. He's living in the same flesh. He hasn't yet died and been glorified. He has taken on our troubles, our lack of, same lacks that man has. And it says, he comes, whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and his holy angels. But I say to you truthfully, there are some of those standing here that will not taste of death until they see the kingdom of God. And now it's called the kingdom of God. Only in Matthew is it known as the kingdom of the heavens. And we know that the kingdom of God is not meat nor drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy. The kingdom of God is not meat nor drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy. The kingdom of God is not meat nor drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy. Joy and peace and righteousness in the Holy Spirit. Joy and peace and righteousness in the Holy Spirit. Are you thinking of anything, Steve, you wanted to bring out? We're in Matthew chapter 16 about the kingdom of the heavens and the keys to the kingdom of the heavens. And there are three rooms that it talks about, the temple. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so we're pretty sure that there are actually three keys. And the first one being changing your mind. And then there's something that people have to do. They have to put on new garments. And before they do that, the priests, this is what they did. They washed. They totally washed. And there's a Psalms 51, it says, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. And that happens at that time when a person washes, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. And then they're able to put on the new garments. There were actually at least seven different garments they put on. And then they were able to enter into the holy place. And it says, if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have communion with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sins. And we have run out of time again. And thank you for joining us. And may God lead you into all truth.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. Or write to him, Gilbert and Friends, P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. That's P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. Or call us at 360-600-6726. That's 360-600-6726. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible because it is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.